We're doing Ein Yaakov, and we're continuing Daf Kuf in the pages of the Gemara, Daf Samach Beis, in the Gemara's pages, Daf Samach Beis, in the pages of the Ein Yaakov, Daf Kuf. Mipnei ma, ein mekanchin b'yimin ala b'smol, amar rava mnei shatron, na b'yimin shnamar mimino shtad lamo. We consider the right hand to be something that shouldn't be used for things that are defiled, because the Torah is described as having been given to with the right hand. The Gemara is saying that the proper behavior when a person relieves himself is that he doesn't use his right hand to cleanse himself. Rabbi Bar Chana says, no, the reason our sages said not to use your right hand is because people eat with their right hand. Remember, these are the days where they didn't have soap and running water. So as much as they cleanse themselves with leaves and sand, the germs were still there. So Rabbi Bar Chana says, you're using that hand to eat. And most people did not have forks. You don't find forks in ancient times. It's a relatively new invention, forks. The best they had was a spoon, and even that was a rarity. Knives they had, but they ate with their hands. You know, they ate the chicken with their hands. So Rabbi Bar Chana says, no, the reason Chazal told you not to use your right hand to cleanse yourself is because that's what's going back into your mouth. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amam Neshukhsho Batfinin. Reish Lakish says, because you use your right hand to tie the tefillin. So that's why Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amam Neshmare Batamei Torah. Very interesting. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, because that's the hand you use to signal to the Baal Koreh how you lean. So you see, back in the days of the Gemara, they also did this. The Baal Koreh would get up there, and sometimes he didn't remember exactly what the tune was. So you'd signal him with your fingers. So if you're going to use that hand is considered a hand that's used for Torah. Don't use it for filthy things. Kitanai, this goes back to Machlokes Tanaim. Rabbi Lezer Memnei Shochel, but Rabbi Lezer says, the reason is because that's the hand people use primarily to eat. Rabbi Shua Memnei Shekotev Ba. Rabbi Shua says, because people write with that hand. Rabbi Kiva Memnei Shemareh Batamei Torah. And Rabbi Kiva says, because that's the hand used to signal Torah with. Okay, end of that. Next point. Amar Ditan Hum Bachanirai. Kol Atzanua Bebet HaKiseh Nitzol Mishtosha Devarim. A person who is modest when he goes to the bathroom will be saved from three things. Mina nechashim, from snakes, umina akrabim, and from scorpions, umina mazikin, and from demons, from spirits, whatever you want to call mazikin. When a person goes to the bathroom and he's modest, so he does things in a quiet, modest way, so then he doesn't arouse the snakes and the scorpions and stuff like that. When a person goes in a brazen, brash way, he might push things over and make a lot of noise, and he'll find himself dealing with snakes and scorpions. Their bathrooms were just out of the city. So a guy's going to go someplace, and he's not going to do it in a modest way. So then he might find himself encountering the snakes and scorpions that are out there. So again, over here, tzniut is speaking about the way a person behaves in the bathroom so that other people don't have to know what's going on in there. And some say that he'll also have normal dreams if he's modest in the bathroom. Yes? What does it mean to be modest in the bathroom? So,
what kind of dreams?
He'll have dreams that won't bother him in his sleep. He'll have dreams that settle. Right. So Chazal viewed certain dreams as stemming from the spirits. So if you behave yourself nicely in the bathroom, then you don't arouse them, and then you don't have to worry about them in your dreams either. So modest in the bathroom means that a person makes less noise rather than more, and talks less rather than more. A person goes to the bathroom in a way that the whole world doesn't have to know about it. Then you have people who go and announce it to the whole world, and they're immodest. The person can be modest in the way he ensures not to reveal more than necessary, and a person can be modest in his behavior. Remember, they didn't have houses to go in; they had you'd find yourself a little corner. So, okay, Ahu Beta Kiseh Da'ave B'Tveria. There was this bathroom out in Tveria. Even if two people went into the bathroom, and even if it was daytime, when ordinarily the spirits, they don't bug two people, and they don't make themselves known during the daytime, But this bathroom in Tveria, the spirits took over, and they weren't even embarrassed to come and harm people by day, and even if there were two. Rav Ami and Rav Asi havu ayde be'echad chad lechudei ve'lo mitzikin. Rav Ami and Rav Asi, they had no problem. They went to that bathroom, even without accompaniment, and nothing ever happened to them. Amulu rabanan lo mistafitu. So the rabbis asked them, aren't you scared? Other people go in there, they walk out all banged up. Amal amridei, anan kabbalah gamrinan. Kabbalah de beta kesetz niyuta v'shtikuta. They said, we have a tradition, we're not worried. Our tradition is that you go into the bathroom, so then be modest and be quiet. Don't talk too much, no reason to talk in there, and be modest, don't relieve more than is necessary. Don't reveal more than is necessary. Sorry.
What kind of spirit? When you say spirits.
Right. It says mazikin, whatever type of spirit mazikin are.
I know what it means. It means a mazikin can tune into your dreams like you tune into a radio. Right. He also has a way of two-way communication. He could insert himself into your dream and cause you to dream in certain ways.
Yefem?
Yes.
Okay. Kabbalah di Yisurei Shtikuta. The tradition we have is that when a person suffers, so better he not speak up. Because if you go and blaspheme or speak against your Creator, things will only get worse. But you should daven, you should ask for mercy. Abaye maravyele ime imra lemel ba'dei lebet akise. Abaye, his mother, brought up a sheep so that the sheep would always go with him. Abaye had a little lamb. And everywhere that Abaye went, the lamb was sure to go. So that the whole idea was that this lamb would always go with him, and even when he went to the bathroom, the lamb would go with him, and Abaye wouldn't be alone. Now we have to understand, when it says his mother, it's his stepmother, because really his mother passed away at childbirth. So when it says his mother brought up this lamb, the idea is his mother brought up his stepmother. His stepmother brought up this lamb. Vileravia le gadia. The Gemara asks, why'd she bring up a lamb? Why not a goat? So the Gemara answers, Seil b'seil michlaf, that the demon that afflicts bathrooms is called a sa'ir. For whatever reason, he's compared to a goat. And goats get confused with goats. So if the goat sees a goat there, this shade that's like a goat, so then the goat won't scare him away or anything. So it wouldn't have helped. A sheep, you go into the bathroom with a sheep, that helps. Okay, if you think I know what I'm talking about, I don't. I have no idea. I'm reading what the Gemara says. Rava mekame davereisha, Rava, before he became the head, before he became the Rosh Hashiva, mekalkesha le bat ravchista amgoza balkana. His wife, who was the daughter of Rav Chista, so she had a rattle, and when he'd go to the bathroom, she'd stand there rattling the rattle to keep away anything that might harm him. Batal d'malach, after he became Rosh Yeshiva, so then Chazal tell us that the more important a person is, the more the mazikim try to harm them. That's why a chatan needs to be watched and a kala needs to be watched. So once he became Rosh Yeshiva, Avdale Kavta Omanchale Yada Reishe. She made a window in the bathroom, and when he'd go to the bathroom, she'd put her hand on his head, so he'd never be alone in the bathroom. So the fact that there was someone there with him, that was a protection for him. So he had a very dedicated wife, the daughter of Rav Chista. So this is interesting. We're going to have to remember the story. Actually, we already saw it, the story of Bar Hedya, right? Didn't we have it already? Story of the dream interpreter and Ravo. He always interpreted the dreams for bad. Okay. We'll have to check. Yeah, here we go. So, one of the dreams that Rava had, he told him his wife would die. And that was the daughter of Rafista. She really died. And in another dream, he told Rava later on that he would become the Rosh Yeshiva. So here we see that the dreams were interpreted, but not in the right order. Because you see, he became Rosh Yeshiva while his wife was alive. And from the Gemara over there, the Gemara goes in order and says a bunch of things would happen to him. So I guess they didn't happen in that order. There was a eulogizer. This used to be a profession. People were hired to eulogize. So, to sing and say the praises of someone after they died. So there was a professional eulogizer, Dinachit Kamed Rav Nachman. He went down and gave his speech or his song before Rav Nachman. Amal, this is what he said. Hai tzanua b'uchotav havad. This man that passed away, he was a humble, modest person. He was a modest person in all the things he did. Amal Rav Nachman atayil ba'adeh lebet ha-kisev yadati tzanua ilo. Rav Nachman said, excuse me, sir. Did you go with him to the bathroom? Do you know if he was modest in the bathroom too? Because the Braisa tells us you're not allowed to call someone modest unless you know he's modest in the bathroom too. In the bathroom, he's careful not to reveal himself more than necessary. So here we see another interesting point. Chazal were very careful not to say lies in a eulogy. Chazal said, Rav Bigun quoted it once, that they say that if you exaggerate in a eulogy, then in Shemayim they bring up the person who passed away, and they say to him, well, down below they say you did A, B, C, and D. Tell me, why didn't you do A, B, C, and D? So it ends up being a detriment to the person. So that's why Chazal were very meticulous. They were careful not to praise someone falsely in their eulogies. V'Rav Nachman Maynafka Leimineh. So the Gemara asks, what did Rav Nachman care? Let him eulogize. Mishum detanya, because we have the following braisa. Keshem shenifreim min ha-meitim, kach nifreim min ha-safdanim u-min ha-onim acheihem. Just as they pay back the person who passed away, so too they pay back the person who eulogized falsely and the person who backed him up with it. So the Marsha over here says that they'll pay back a eulogizer who lies, who says something he doesn't have. And if other people stand there nodding and say, yeah, 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 so then they agreed. So in heaven they give it to them too. What are you standing there lying? Just because he died doesn't mean you have to lie. So this is very interesting, the balance Chazal gave us. People are sometimes very surprised by the honesty Chazal wanted of us. I was present when a certain rabbi's relative passed away, and he didn't say anything. So it was a distant, like a great uncle of his. So someone standing there asked him, you're not saying, oh, I'm sorry he passed away or anything. So he said, because I'm not. So they said, what do you mean? What did he ever do to you? So he said, well, he never did anything bad to me. But everyone knows that he was a landlord that cheated his tenants and threw people out into the street. And everyone knows that he hurt hundreds, if not thousands, of people in his lifetime. So just because he's my great uncle, I'm supposed to say I'm sorry he died? He was a wicked person in his life. So he died. Okay, what do you want me to say now? I'm not going to say I'm sorry just because he's my uncle. He was a wicked person. Come on. What can I say? And I saw a similar story where they came to someone and they said, also a rabbi. They came to him and they said, they're prosecuting your whatever. It was his uncle, great uncle, whatever. He said, what do you want from me? So they said, don't you think you should come out and back him and everything? So he said, I don't know if he's right. If he's wrong, then he should be persecuted. If he's right, then I wish him that everything should come out right for him. If he needs my help watching the kids while he's dealing with court, I'll help him watching the kids. But you want me to back him and come out with a letter? I don't know if he's right or wrong. Chazal wanted us to be honest. A guy passed away, that doesn't make him holy. If he lived a good life, say good things about him. But the good things should all be true. Tanu Rabbanan, Ezeu Tzanua. I know this is very hard for people to swallow, but I think if we think about it, then we see how beautiful it is. There was once a rabbi who was called in by a community to eulogize someone, and he never met the person. The guy paid his dues to the shul, so now the rabbi is supposed to eulogize him, but he never showed up. So he comes to the funeral, and he sees his three sons standing there. One comes in with his gang, the second one comes in with his motorcycle and chains, and the third one is being let in from prison. So he stands there looking at the three, and they're all standing there sobbing, and they honor him with getting up to speak. And he had heard that the guy was quite a character, and that there really wasn't anything he could find out that was positive to say about him. So he got up there and he said, whenever a person passes, so it's a traumatic event for everyone. And I think that the most accurate thing we can say about this person who passed is that just look at the kids he left behind and you'll understand what kind of human being he was. And the kids were shining because everyone views themselves positively. So they were thrilled. Oh, he eulogized our father. Okay, but he wasn't dishonest. By the way, just so you understand how much this is supposed to be a part of our life, this story I'm telling you now, I heard in elementary school. I heard this story when I was in elementary school, in fifth grade. I still remember the Rebbe telling us this story. Because this is part of the concept of a eulogy. Now, this goes the other way too. I once met with Rav Shlomo Fisher, and I was discussing with him the dismal state of education in the United States, Jewish education. So one of the questions he asked me was, do they take the children to funerals, to levayas? Do they hear the eulogies about big tzaddikim? Because we're so careful to tell the truth, even at eulogies, so when a big tzaddik passes away and they start saying how big he is, so that has a big impact on the listeners. And he felt that that's part of the education that children have to have. They have to attend when a big person passes away and hear the eulogies, hear what a tremendous person he was and what it means to be a big person. What's considered a modest person in the bathroom? That when he goes to the bathroom at night, he takes the same place he would take by day. Just like by day you go where no one can see you, so too at night he goes where no one can see him. But Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, a person should try to go to the bathroom early in the morning before daybreak and at night after nightfall. Get used to that, and that way you don't have to go a big distance to go to the bathroom because it's dark. Rava himself, by day, he used to go a long distance. By night, he told the servant, clear me up some room in the streets. Rav Zera also told his servant, go check out that location over there, make sure it's clear so I could use the bathroom there. The Gemara says, we didn't mean he has to go all the way out to find a location that far away from the city. What we meant is the way he is, as modest as he is, as we learned in the first chapters, that when a person goes to the bathroom, he should be modest. A person should preferably go sitting and not standing. A person should reveal only that much that's necessary to be able to go to the bathroom. That's the idea. A person doesn't say, well, it's nighttime, who sees me? I can do whatever I want. But it doesn't mean he has to go out, take the same journey he would take by day in order to go to the bathroom. When we say go to that place, Ravashi says, when we say be as modest as you were by day, it means with regard to the place you choose as well. But the idea is, if you have a corner place, you have a place that you could go by day where no one would see you, so then if it's not far away, then go there by night as well. Meaning, we're not saying you have to travel all the way out at night the way you would by day, But we're saying that even at night, if you have something accessible, so then the person should try to be as modest as he could. So this idea that Rav Yehuda taught that a person should get into a habit, so modern science backs that. That a person could be in a habit as to when he relieves himself. We could train our bodies. And it helps for incontinence, it helps for everything. The second the body is used to it, so then the body functions in according to what it's used to. So that's what he taught. Get into the habit that you go early in the morning before you go out to work, and late at night when you finish your day. And then you can have a productive day, and you don't have to spend time going to find the bathroom. Tanya Namiyachi ben Azai Omer, Ashkem Vatzeh, Arevitzeh. We have a brisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Azai said, go out early in the morning, go out late at night, or after nightfall, Kadesh lo titochek, so you don't have to go too far away. Mishmesh, mashmesh v'shev, v'al teshev ut mashmesh. So, when you're sitting down, so clean the area first. Don't sit down without cleaning the area. Now this is something which even today you should do. Go to the bathrooms all over the machon, anywhere you go. Because if a person first sits down and then cleans up, so then the Talmud says for whatever reason, the sorcery from all over the world could come back to him. But if he by mistake did it out of order, so then when he gets up, there's a special incantation he could say that will protect him from the sorcery. Loli, loli. Not to me, not from below, and not from even further below. Not these nor others. Not the sorcery of a male sorcerer, nor the sorcery of a female sorcerer. Okay, so now we saw a bunch of Gemaras that, what do we take away from all this? Okay, so what do we take away? Number one, Chazal instructed us to be modest. Number two, Chazal told us a person should be careful not to exaggerate in his eulogies. Number three, places of danger are less dangerous when there are two people present. Number four, when a person is modest, it's not only about the way and the location, it's also about the noise and how much he publicizes what he's doing. Okay. Tanya, Ben Azai Omer, Ben Azai gives us another piece of advice. Al kol mishkav shchav chutz min hakarka. You want to sleep? Sleep on any bed you want, but don't sleep on the floor. Don't sleep on the earth. Al kol moshav shev chutz min hakora. You want to sit? Sit on anything you want. Don't sit on a beam, because that's narrow and a person can fall. Why shouldn't you sleep on the ground? So he doesn't say,
I would never do it, but just if you have no other option, like you have no bed or anything, you have to
see it. Yeah, you're right. If you have no choice, you have no choice. I don't know what. I don't know. I can think of a few reasons. I could think of the cold, that the earth gets colder. You sleep on a cot, you sleep on a mattress. Yeah, fine.
Because that you might get the. Might get a scorpion to attack you at night.
Could be. I don't know. Okay. Maybe we'll do two more lines. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel taught the following. Sheina b'amud ha-shachar. Sleeping in the morning after the crack of dawn. Ke'istima le'farzina. That's like what's it called? It's like cauterizing metal. If you sleep after the crack of dawn, if a person goes to the bathroom at the crack of dawn, that also strengthens him. So he recommends not getting up before the crack of dawn. That's what it would seem like here. Now, what's the crack of dawn? 72 minutes before sunrise. Okay. So here you see it. You got to get your sleep. Interesting. Okay. Balkafa havemizbin milei bedinri ad de kafnat. What? Time to go to Marv? So pick up here. Dinner, I didn't realize. Okay.